today. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now, this will be all on PowerPoint. I just really want you to listen today because and if you need the notes, I will be more than happy to email them to you. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, there's 19 points in this message. Because it's 2019, so I decided we're going to give 19 points. And so I just really want you to listen, and I'm going to have it all on PowerPoint. And if you're a note taker, I can email you the notes. That's no problem. But I want you to, if you have your Bibles, and I'm going to put these scriptures also up on the screen, you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and Proverbs 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and Proverbs chapter 13. And I'm entitling this, being a spiritual father, And, being a pastor, everybody in here, if you're a dad, then, you're fathering, you're a spiritual father, not only a physical father, but you're a spiritual father to your children. But you can even go outside of your family and you can be a father figure to, even somebody you work with, things like that. And I God called me to be a pastor, and with that calling comes being a father to people. And it's an honor to be a spiritual father. And I think I'm thinking more of this as I get older. I'm going to be turning 50 this year, so I just became a grandpa, so a poppy. And so I'm thinking about these things more. And I want to be a good father. I wanted to be that was my desire growing up, is to be a good dad to Taya and to Jaden. And then I wanted to be a good pastor and be in that respect, a good father figure for people, that when people see me, they see Jesus. And, I was just sitting here thinking this morning as we were worshiping and seeing all the people that were here. I'll give you a little example of how this plays out being a pastor. I didn't even tell them I was going to share this, so this is on Travis and Jennifer. So Travis is like, oh my gosh, here he goes again, sharing a story about me. But this has been several years ago. He probably knows the exact year, but there was one week that I remember this vividly, because they came up to me after service and told me what this message meant to them. But I can still remember this. That very week, I was like praying about, I wasn't doing a series or teaching. I was just praying about what the Lord wanted me to minister on for that Sunday, because he's the Father. He's the spiritual Father. And I said, what do the people need? And during that week, the Lord reminded me of a message that I had done years ago, and I entitled it Proper Placement. And during the week, I'd done that message before, and so I dug it out, and I was going through it and restudying it and everything, and then the Lord gave me a little fun thing to put with it, was toilet paper. The proper placement of toilet paper. Is it under or over? And so I used that as a little background to that, but I didn't know, but God does. God knows everything. But during that time, Travis and Jennifer were really like, did we really hear God about moving back out here to Western Oklahoma? And so that message really spoke to them, and they came up to me and told me that and said, that message really spoke to us, that we're supposed to stay here. Thank God they're still here. and I have watched over the years what God has done in their lives and how God's led them into career paths and different things that's going on. And I love their family, and their two little girls come up to me every morning and give me hugs at church. And so that's pretty cool. But that's part of being and I don't want this to sound like I'm bragging on myself, but that's part of being a spiritual father, is pastoring and ministering to people. And every one of you in here, even if you're a lady, you can do this. You can spiritual mother people, okay? And so I'm going to read this story that I found, and this is a true story talking about the need for spiritual fathers is great. The story is told in Spain of a father and his teenage son whose relationship had become strained. The son decided to run away from home. Heartbroken, the father began a journey in search of his rebellious son. The search led him to Madrid, and the father placed an advertisement in the newspaper as a last-ditch effort to locate the boy. The ad read, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon. All is forgiven. I love you, your father." The next day at noon, 800 Pacos showed up. They all came seeking love, forgiveness, and acceptance from their fathers. Isn't that pretty cool? But that's the part of being a spiritual father. And so I want to start out, there's somebody in Scripture that was outside of Jesus that was a spiritual father, and it was the Apostle Paul. And in my Bible, it talks about Paul's paternal care, being a father to the churches that he started. And he started several churches, but this is the one in Corinth. And this is out of 1 Corinthians 4, verses 14 through 16. He says, "I do not write these things to shame you." He's writing a letter to the church. "But as my beloved children, I warn you, for though you might have 10,000 instructors or teachers in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me." Some pretty powerful words spoken from a man of God. And then in Proverbs 13, what I just told you to turn to, Proverbs 13, verse 1 says, "A wise son heeds," that word heeds means obeys, "his father's instruction." And so what I want to do today, and I've asked the Lord, you know, the Lord's the ultimate father, but I've asked for him to anoint me as a spiritual father today to speak to you as your pastor. And this is 2019, so I've got 19 things I'm going to share with you, all right? And what when I think of the word father, I think wisdom, right? That's one of the things I think of is wisdom. And so I'm going to give you some practical wisdom. Now, this is not an exhaustive list, but I think one or two of these things might really hit home with you. But every one of these we need to be practicing in our lives. These are going to be very practical things, but every one of us need to be doing this. And here's what I'm telling you. As a dad, these are the things that you need to be teaching your children. Amen. It's not just at church. The church can only do so much. You know, where it really happens at is at home. That's where it happens at. And so, everybody ready for 19 points? Okay. Here's number one. When you borrow something from someone, always return it in better condition than when you got it. And everybody said that, amen. This is practical wisdom that we need to be teaching the next generation. And a lot of these things we're seeing the next generation not doing some of these things because they haven't been taught. We need to pass this on to the next generation. This is straight out of Scripture. This is the golden rule out of Luke 6, verse 31. It says, "Just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." And I'm going to give you a couple of I'm trying to share maybe a few stories on each one. Each one of them is going to have a scripture. But whenever I used to sell Ford vehicles at Red Johnson Ford, and sometimes people would have to get their vehicle worked on, and so they would get the loaner car. And oh my gosh, the loaner car was abused. There had been times they came back with some dents in it, and just trashed out, barely had enough gas to even pull into the parking lot, you know, and like, "Here you go, here's the keys back." It was like, "Well, thanks." And I can probably count on one hand how many people came back and it was clean, had a tank full of gas, and I can count on one hand of the people that did that. Now, the other ones that, you know, it was, and so when you borrow something from someone, always return it in better condition than when you got it. And everybody said, I had some friends of mine years ago, they needed an Explorer because we had the back end of it and they were needing it to do something with. And so I gave it to them. I said, "Yeah, you guys, you know, use it." And so they brought it back. It had been washed, it had been waxed, and it was full, had a full tank of gas. And guess what? I was like, if they ever need it again, they can take it, you know. But that's something. When you borrow something from someone, always return it in better condition than when you got it. And everybody said, amen. All right. Here's number two. Never put pressure on people. They are not your source. When you have a need, turn to the Word of God and find a Scripture that addresses that need, then stand on that Scripture. Don't force people. Don't pressure people, family, friends, coworkers. And this is Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your need, whatever it is, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God is always your source. Always. It's not people. God, it's not your job. It's not your career. God is your source. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. Here's number three. Don't seek revenge. Wait on the Lord and he will deliver you. This is Romans 12, verse 19, out of the Message Bible. It says, don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. And I can tell you, when we planted the church here, and it's, you know, it just amazes me that we've been here for 19 years now, planted back in 2000, and I had a prophetic word given to me from a man of God out of Arkansas, and it's always stuck with me because he used the analogy of a football team, and he says, Mark, you're like the guy that's carrying the football. That's the vision that God's given you and for this area and all that. But he said, but what God's going to do, he said, don't ever get out ahead of your blockers. God's going to raise up blockers to come and help you and do these things. And so I said, oh, you know, he said, if you get ahead of your blockers, then, you know, there's going to be things not go right. So don't, and it was going back to this, don't seek revenge, wait on the Lord, and he will deliver you. And I'll never forget the Sunday, I look back here at the back, I see Dusty and Betty back there when they started coming to church, and they were living over at Weatherford. And then Dusty tells me that the Lord spoke to him that they're to move back to Leedy, and it was basically to help in the church. And I'm telling you, Dusty is a huge blocker. May not look like it, but in the spirit, he is a huge, look at him, he's back here bowing up. He is a huge blocker, and I just love that because Dusty has been through a lot of fires with me and has helped me tremendously. And has been a great elder in this church, and I love you, Dusty. Appreciate you. I don't say it enough. And also something the Lord spoke to me on this, don't seek revenge, wait on the Lord, and he will deliver you. And I'm just trying to speak to you today as a spiritual father to help you in life. I hope that something out of this message today is going to help you, give you wisdom for life. But something the Lord spoke to me that there was going to be things happen to me that it would derail me if I was a person given to offense. You know, when people, I'm talking about if you wear your feelings out on your sleeve and just, you know, offensive and, you know, you get offended real easily. And the Lord basically spoke to me, and this was early on, right after I got saved, told me, you're going to have to grow up really fast and not be a person that gets offended real easily. And I'm like, oh, that's a great word from God, you know, like what's fixing to happen. And the story that he gave me in Scripture was Joseph. And he told me, he said, Mark, if you will be like Joseph, Joseph was very spiritually mature about was he didn't get offended. And later in his story, if you know his story, later in his story, he was able to minister to his family and because he forgave them. And I have watched over 19 years being a pastor here by not getting offended. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect at it. Don't get me wrong. But I've seen people come back around, circling around. And here's what I want to tell you. In life, whether it's in your family, with friends, with coworkers, with everything that's within you, because I can tell you it's easier said than done, do not burn bridges. Look at somebody and say, don't burn bridges. Don't burn bridges, okay? And so don't seek revenge. Wait on the Lord, and he will deliver you. Is everybody learning something? Okay, we're on four now. We've got 15 more to go. Number four, don't borrow money. It's not a sin. It's not a heaven or hell issue or anything like that. It's not a sin, but it is not God's best, and it causes you to become a servant to the lender. If you have to borrow money, you know, I understand mortgages for your home and for a business, then have a plan to get out of debt as quick as you can. Amen. All right. So that's the one on money. And I'm going to share the scripture. I love the scripture out of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 12 through 13, it says, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them, that's what's going to happen to you. If you do that, you're going to be the head and not the tail. You're going to be above and not beneath. You're going to be the lender and not the borrower. And everybody said, amen. And it's amazing to me, because as I started, and it's a mindset, guys, it really is. It's renewing the mind to this, because I used to think, well, I'm just going to be in debt for the rest of my life. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a mindset problem. But have a plan to get out of debt. And like I said, don't borrow money. Don't do the impulse buying and all that kind of stuff. You might have to have a mortgage. You might have to have some borrow money for your business. I understand those things. But then have a plan to get out of debt. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number five. Always tithe. If you don't, it will seem as if you have a bag of money with holes in it. And I'm going to say this about tithing. It's not a heaven or hell issue. It's basically an obedience issue, and I can tell you, I can't put it on paper. I can't explain it. I can sit up here and teach on this till I'm blue in the face, but until you do it, it's just amazing how God proves himself in this. And this is a scripture that I write on every one of our tithe checks. In fact, I have my tithe check somewhere. Here it is. All right. I didn't put my tithe check in this morning. That made me think of it. But on every one of my checks, down in the memo, I write tithe, and then I put Malachi 3:10. And that Malachi 3:10, it says this, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And here's what I want to tell you. That comes back to you, not just financially, but spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, relationally. Every area of your life becomes blessed. There's just something about it. I can't even put it into words when you start doing this. And I've seen people in our church start doing this, and I can tell you, things just start going better. They just get better. And not that they don't have problems and that they don't go through things, but their dishwasher lasts longer than yours. You know, just different. I mean, there's just things that happen. I can think back over the 19 years, and I've taught on this several times in our church, and this is probably a subject that needs to be taught every year in our church, but I had a couple one time that they heard me teach on this, and in Malachi 3:10, they just said, you know what, we're going to start doing this. We don't know how this is going to work. We got bills. We got this. We got that. They started doing it, and they told me this story, and they said that they received a check in the mail, it was for several hundred dollars, and they said it was from 2 years ago, from the time that they started tithing. It was 2 years previous to that when they had bought a vehicle, and this dealership where they'd bought it from, somewhere in Oklahoma City, I think, or somewhere off, they were doing an audit of their books, and they found out that they had overcharged them for something, and so they were sending them a refund. Guys, that don't just happen, I'm telling you. And that it made believers out of them. Since we're on this subject of giving, so I put these pretty much all together. Number six is give, especially when you're in financial trouble. There may be times when you're in financial trouble and you want to start holding on to stuff and being stingy. That's not the time to be stingy. Genesis 26, verses 12 through 13, tells the story of Isaac, and this was during famine. This is whenever everybody was saying, Isaac, you're dumb, you're stupid, you need to hold on to your seed, you don't need to be, this is a famine, that's not good. Isaac said, no, I'm putting my seed in the ground. He says, then Isaac sowed in that land, talking about a land that was experiencing famine, and reaped in the same year 100-fold. I mean, that took faith for this man to do this. And it says, then the Lord blessed him, and the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. I think Isaac was prosperous. But he by faith, sowed even in the time of famine and reaped 100-fold. And there's another scripture that I love that goes with this. It's out of Proverbs 11, verses 24 through 25. It says, there is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. It's talking about being stingy. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. God is a generous God. Amen. God gave his son for us, and God wants us to be generous. I can tell you there's going to be times that's going to come in your life where your, you know, finances are tight or whatever, and it's going to, you're going to think, man, I got to be stingy. No, you still be generous. Be generous always. Don't be stingy. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number seven. When God tells you to do something, obey him and do it then. He is trying to get something to you. And this is 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed or obey than the fat of rams. And basically what this means is most of the time when God tells you to do something, obey him and do it then, he is trying to get something to you. Most of the time it's going to defy logical reasoning. It's not going to make any sense when he tells you to do something. And that is the opportunity that God's putting before you to faith it. Look at somebody and say, faith it. That's what God's trying to get you to do, because faith is what pleases God. All right, number eight, never make rash, knee-jerk decisions when the pressure's on. Relax and roll the care of it over on God and sleep on it. All right, your grandparents had a, you know, take a day, sleep on it, think about it, ponder it. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God cares for you, and God will tell you, and I'm talking this as small decisions to big decisions, to in-between decisions. Just, you know, present them to God, sleep on it, talk about it with your spouse, with family or friends or whatever, you know, get counsel and all that, but don't make knee-jerk, rash decisions. And everybody said, and it'll go well with you, I promise you. I haven't always done that. How many impatient people do we have in here besides me? Yeah. And sometimes it's came back and bit me in the rear end if I'd have just slept on it and thought about it a little bit longer. All right, number nine, always put others first. This is 1 Peter 4, verse 10, says, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Here's the deal. You may not believe this, but you're here to minister to others. Every one of us are. God is bringing people across your path to minister to, and God wants you to use your gift. Here's number 10, big one. Respect law enforcement officers and the military. Buy their dinner and thank them when you see them. And everybody said amen. Something that's dying in our society today is honor. I'm talking in the house of God. Honor, you know, with our law enforcement with, or honor with our military. This is Romans 13, verse 7. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Honor them. If you see them out, if you see law enforcement or you see military, buy their dinner. Don't make a big deal about it either. Just go and buy their dinner. I'm looking back here at Scott Meyer, and I think there was one time I was it was at a Mexican restaurant in Woodward. I don't know if y'all remember this, and we were sitting down, and I can't remember. I think it was with family, and I was sitting down eating, and we saw them there, and I kept waiting for the waitress to bring our ticket, and I said we're ready to check out, and she said, oh, somebody's already paid it. And I said, who? And she goes, I wasn't supposed to tell you. And I was like, I know who. You know, and so I definitely, that was an honor thing, and that's something that is dying in our society today, guys. It really is, and we need to honor our law enforcement, those in authority, you know, teachers, coaches, military, all those things. All right, number 11, pray for the president and all our leaders on all levels. And this is Romans 13, verses 1 through 2. It says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Okay, our president, whoever is in that seat, that we need to honor that. God, and we have to realize, Yes, there's voting and all the things that take place, but we need to realize that it was all Father filtered and God put that person there, and we need to honor that. And pray for the president and all the leaders on all levels. Is everybody learning something today? All right, number 12. Don't give heed to what people say about you, good or bad. Don't listen to the bad stuff because you might start believing it. And don't listen to the good stuff because you might start believing it. And that is so true. 1 Peter 5:6 is the scripture that goes with this. We're here to please one person only, and that's God Almighty. It says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. And I promise you, if you're doing what God's called you to do, somebody's going to come along and say bad stuff about you. Somebody's going to come along and say good stuff about you. Don't believe any of it. You're just there to please God. That's what you're here to do. All right, number 13, big one. Always tell the truth. There is no such thing as a white lie. And this is Numbers 32, verse 23. Be sure your sin will find you out. I remember telling Taya that when she grew up in our house. Always be truthful. Don't lie. No white lies. Because Daddy will always find out. Daddy has a way of finding out. Taya was a good daughter. She's back there going, yeah, like I really caused you a lot of problems. She didn't. Be sure your sin will find you out. Okay, number 14. Keep your word even to your own hurt. And everybody said, if you put your word out there about something, keep your word even if it doesn't benefit you, even to your own hurt. And this is Proverbs 10, verse 9. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Keep your word. Be a man or a woman of your word. Number 15, always believe the best of people. Love people and let them live their lives. We should not judge, and it is not our place to correct them. Okay, look at somebody and say, I see spouses looking at one another. I'm not looking anywhere right now. You are not Holy Spirit Junior. You cannot control and manipulate somebody to change. Okay, you're called to just love that person. Love. They may be doing something that you don't approve of. They may be even living in sin, that whatever, but you are called to love that person. And if you will love those people that God's put in, whether it's family, friends, coworkers, or whatever, you will see God do more through you loving somebody than trying to correct them. And everybody said, amen, I promise you. I've learned this one the hard way. You can't control, manipulate. You can't be Holy Spirit Junior, and you can't try to be God in somebody's life and try to. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Okay. Here's number 16. Big one. All these are big. And this is not an exhaustive list. I could have probably went on all day long. But don't allow strife to exist in your life, ever. Just say no to drama. Okay? I've been around people that I really think they love drama. They like it. They thrive on it. I'm like, uh-uh. I don't want it. I don't want it in my life at all. This is where you've got to put boundaries on yourself and in your family and all those things. And this is 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. It says, for you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? And this is the Apostle Paul talking to the Corinthian church, and we were even talking about that this morning on our praise team. This is a subject that came up. But it's not saying that they don't love the Lord and they're not going to heaven, but it's called carnal Christianity. And it's where people are still living in strife and drama. There's envy, strife, divisions going on, and there's churches like that. You know, and it's a carnal church, and it's not a fun place to be in. And we here at Harvest Fellowship Church over the past 19 years, have we had experience that? Yes, but it's not fun when you're going through that. And so we want to have a peaceful atmosphere, because whenever in James it talks about where there's strife and envy and divisions and all that junk going on, and it says then every evil work is going on there. That is a door opener to the demonic, even to happen in a church, amongst Christians, and we don't want that. And everybody said, amen. We want that love and unity. All right, here's number 17. Never make a decision based solely on money. Do it based on what the Spirit of God says. And this is Psalms 25, verse 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all the day. It does not say, lead me in your money. It doesn't say that. Lead me in your truth. Sometimes it may look good and sound good, but it's not what you're supposed to do. And you need to listen to the Spirit of God on that. Here's number 18. Do what is right. Do it because it is right. And then do it right, even when no one is watching. And this is Proverbs 21, verse 3. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Is everybody proud of me how fast I got through 19 of them? And you guys have done good looking, or listening, I should say, looking and listening. Verse 19 says, or number 19 says, if you think you know it all, then you're as smart as you will ever get. All right? There's a lot of people like that. Always be teachable and keep learning. And this is James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And everybody said, okay, that's the 19 little practical bits of wisdom. And I know there's a lot more, and I'm sure some of y'all could add some to that. But I just wanted to talk to you at like a spiritual father today and sow some of these seeds. And I pray that you'll take some of these and start teaching your children. And I'm praying that Cameron and Taya is going to teach these things to Jarek as he grows up, and teaching them to your kids, sowing these seeds. You can be a spiritual father or a spiritual mother in your own house, but also to the people that God's put around you, your circle of influence. Maybe it's at your workplace or whatever. And look for those opportunities to sow those seeds of wisdom. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And before we dismiss today, and I always do this every Sunday because I don't know everybody's spiritual condition that comes into our church, and I also don't know those that are, watching by Church's Aid, or also those that are going to be listening to this on the radio next Sunday. And I always want to make sure that everybody here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and I want to give you the opportunity to do that. The Bible makes it very clear. It's very easy, very simple to receive salvation. In Romans chapter 10, the Apostle Paul told us, he said, what we have to do is confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's how you get saved. And so I want to lead you in a prayer of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so even if you have done this and you know the Lord, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up in here today. Did everybody learn something today? Everybody get some wisdom today? The Father's wisdom. All right, I want to speak a blessing over you. So if you're standing there with a family member, I want you to reach over and grab their hand. And I want to speak this blessing over you today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. You are blessed. Have an awesome week, And happy Father's Day to the dads in here. Amen.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're.